Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran continued on 720 WGN, show number 545, and Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy joins us. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Hey, Steve. How am I? I'm a little busy and a little bit stressed out, but staying the course.
Yeah, sometimes that question is just a matter of course, really, and it probably isn't appropriate. But having said that, what's your reaction to the news of the day and this mayor's task force?
I think it's the best possible thing that can happen, because what I've been trying to explain to people, no real progress is the fact that communities across the country want civilian oversight to police departments, and they want outside agencies investigating police shootings. Here in the city of Chicago, we have both, and it's not producing the results that people want. In fact, we actually have a U.S. attorney, a federal investigation into the shooting, which resulted in a 13-month lag between the incident and the officer getting charged. And by the way, the U.S. attorney still has not finished their grand jury. This is the state's attorney who came forward. So at the end of the day, the system is not producing what the community wants, and as a result, it needs to be examined and changed. And this is something that I've been endorsing since I've been here, because while I have all the accountability in the world, as you can see, I haven't necessarily had the authority to do the things that in some cases need to be done. And this is probably the clearest example of that.
Well, I want to make sure people understand, including me, by the way, of how this works, because the Independent Review Board, as it stood now, or as it has been in place, the Tribune reported 28,500 citizen complaints, 97% with no punishment. The Independent Review Board, logically, would make me think you have nothing to do with the authority of that review board. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And again, in this case, Steve, I'm not even privy to the investigation that's being conducted by the FBI and the U.S. attorney and the state's attorney. So IPRA referred this case, the Van Dyke case, up to the FBI, who's working with those two entities. And it's secret. I can't even, you know, people are asking me, would I do this, would I do that? And I can't even answer it because I don't know the circumstances of the investigation.
Well, the frustration that you have to feel in part is because I know for a fact, because I've done my homework, and you've been on the show many times as well, that you spent a lot of time in the last 4 years trying to build trust back up in the communities, and this shooting and this video in particular blows that trust sky high. I assume that's making you crazy.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating because all the progress that we've made, whether it's reducing complaints against officers, we just put out a press release on this last night. Our complaints by civilians against our officers is down almost by half in comparison to last year, and over the last 4 years, there's been almost a 70% reduction in police shootings of civilians. That's pretty significant. It's completely lost in what's happening here today because of one terrible incident or a couple of terrible incidents. We certainly have a ton more work to do, but the progress that we've been making is really going out the window. And one other thing, Stephen, I know I'm running on. Everybody talks about changing the culture of the Chicago Police Department. And I think that that complaint data and the police-related shootings, coupled with the methods that we've used in front of an international audience to handle the protests that have been taking place here, really speaks to a cultural change in the organization. Officers being punched, kicked, spit, thrown, objects thrown at them, and maintaining their professional stature the entire time. We've made something like 12 or 14 arrests the entire time.
Well, that's the thing, because the vast majority of the police department goes out of their way to do their job every day. And if I was a regular officer and saw that video and dealt with what the regular officers do on a day-to-day basis, the vast majority of them not getting citizen complaints, I'd be a little pissed off because all the work you're trying to do and your safety on the streets gets compromised. So I've heard Van Dyke described by some as a rogue officer. Is he a rogue officer, or is there a problem in the department?
Well, look, I'm not sure what a rogue officer means. He's certainly an officer who has a history and a track record. The unfortunate thing is that the complaints against him, very few were substantiated. A number were unfounded, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I was just getting briefed on this yesterday, and he has at least five that were unfounded complaints. So it's hard to pin this down, especially when I think the last 5 years, for sure, any of his force complaints were handled by an outside component, IPRA, and they were not found to be substantiated. So you can't, I mean, there's obviously, where there's smoke, there's fire, it's the same, and we have to have warning systems to bring this to our attention, which we actually do. But the question becomes, what are the results of that? And that's what we have to work on.
Who decides that he gets desk duty? Is that a union thing with the department?
No, that's actually state law. I'm glad you brought that up, because people want to know what it is I could have done under this circumstance when Van Dyke, when I saw the shooting. Under state law, the only thing that I could do was strip him of his police authority and put him on desk duty. That's the only thing that I could have done. So after that, we had to sit and wait until such time as he became charged with a felony, and then we were able to put him into a no-pay status. So while I certainly have the accountability, I didn't have the authority to take the steps that the community wants us to take, and that may have actually been warranted, but the state law prohibits it.
And I want to make sure I understand you correctly. You seem to indicate that the U.S. Attorney's investigation is, by, in your opinion, and by way of what bogged this thing down for the year that it was bogged down?
This is not blame. What I need to make clear is that, to my knowledge, and I thought I heard Anita Alvarez say that there's been more than 80 people put into this grand jury, which takes an awful lot of time.
Sure.
Putting the case together behind the scenes like that is a very cumbersome thing to do. And they generally, the federal investigations take a lot longer than other ones. And this is a case that has now produced something where people's expectations are different than what they're seeing. And as a result, there's a lot of finger pointing going on. And honestly, I'm in a position with limited authority to change that.
I know
the mayor's task force is really the best idea, quite frankly.
Do you have any sense of what went on with, speaking of the grand jury testimony, with the Burger King video surveillance system and any of your guys being there and tampering with it?
The only thing that I know about this is that what I was told by my investigators who did an initial response, which was there was technical difficulties and they stopped doing what they were doing immediately. And then the second thing is the fact that Anita Alvarez articulated that it has been investigated and there's no evidence of tampering. That's what she said. And
right.
I'm not privy to the grand jury, so I can't answer that. But then also, I'm learning most of my stuff about this case, unfortunately, through the news media. And I heard a report this morning or last night, I forget, the days are kind of running together on me, that there was a forensic expert who has now articulated publicly that there was nothing on those tapes that indicated any sort of tampering.
I want to get Andre in here with a question on more news of the day before we let you go. And I got a Superintendent Gary McCarthy, and obviously we appreciate your time. But one of the overriding things, and I know you know this, is with the notion that no sound was used on any of the dash cams in the police cruisers, it can't all be some sort of technical glitch. That seems to be, I'm just speaking to common sense here, that there has to be some sort of choice being made, and that makes people think there's some sort of cover-up, along with the other news that is out there. And cover-up has got to be your least favorite words.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, again, here's a scenario, and it doesn't smell right. And we started an internal investigation on it, but we cannot proceed until after the criminal case is over with. That's the procedure. You don't want to compromise a criminal investigation to discipline an officer for not turning on an audio before they go out on patrol. It just doesn't make sense. So unfortunately, that's the system that we're kind of bound by right now. And it's policy and it's also law.
Superintendent, attorneys for another family involved in a separate police-involved shooting, the mother of, and family of Ronald Johnson, are holding a news conference this morning asking that dash cam video be released from this particular incident. So I want to know how you feel about the dash cam videos. Who decides if and when it'll be released, and do you think they should be released at all?
So we don't release evidence in ongoing investigations. That's the policy of the department. If that's going to change, then so be it. But right now, that's the policy. For instance, look at this. We have not released to anybody the evidence that we've used to charge Corey Morgan with the murder of Tyshawn Lee.
Right.
And we're not going to, because it can taint the jury pool. It can taint the investigation, which, by the way, is not completed. He's been charged, but the investigation is not over. So that's the policy of the department, and that's the way that we're going to proceed. And that's the law, actually, regarding Freedom of Information Act, that the exception to the release is for an ongoing investigation. It's not my policy. So, I mean, that's unfortunately the system that we're under.
Do you have some sort of timeline in your head on when you would announce, for the sake of the public, because the public's involved in your life at a different level now, different ways to operate your department, whether it's training with video cameras or community involvement? Is there anything in your head with that, or is it too busy to even think about that now?
Right now, we're just trying to get through what we need to get through in the short term. We'll take up those other issues as we move forward. Right now, I'm just caught in a conundrum of trying to get the facts out, what we can do, what we can't do, and what it is that we have done in regards to these issues, because the swirl has completely overpowered what the facts are regarding that. When that's done, we'll take a look at all the issues, and which, by the way, we've been doing it on an ongoing basis, and whatever changes we come up with, we'll absolutely let the public know.
Well, you know how I feel about what your men and women do every day, and you've been a cop for most of your life, and it's incredibly frustrating to see what happened. And we're all instant judge and juries when we see these videos. But right. By all accounts of this video, when none of us were there, this kid got mowed down in the street. And even if he was a bad kid, and clearly he had a lot of problems in his life and no family and was failed at pretty much every turn in his life, it doesn't appear, to what we know, it doesn't appear he deserved anything close to what he got. So you've got 10 or 12 cops on the scene, whatever the number turns out to be. In your years of policing, is there any circumstance that makes sense that all of them would put their own careers on the line to cover up for a guy who fired those shots by tampering with video or all the other accusations that are out there? Does that exist in the police department?
It's individual choice, Steve. I can't speak for what everybody would do. I mean, just like Officer Van Dyke, he's going to have to articulate what was in his mind when he did that. So, I mean, I can provide the training, I can provide the policy, and I can provide the discipline, which is what we've done to get those police shooting numbers down to where they are, which is what we've done to get the response on the data on the complaints against officers. But I can't articulate why individuals do things that they do, whether it's in the police department or outside. All I can do is just stay the course and keep working on it.
When you saw that video for the first time, would you like to have gotten your own hands on the officer?
It was obviously very troublesome. I couldn't imagine what was going through his mind. I've, like you point out, been doing this for 35 years. I've been in countless situations where I could have, and some would say should have, fired my weapon, but I haven't. And I've recovered hundreds of guns in my police career. It's just, the whole thing is incredibly troublesome and tragic. And the circumstances of that young man's life, whatever issues he suffered growing up, typically it ends up in our hands and an even worse tragic situation than the young man grew up with.
I would echo from a member of the public's perspective that the amount of restraint the department uses when they deal with these types of protests is nothing short of remarkable, going back to NATO and all the way through this. And you don't know till you know until you've walked in the shoes or the boots of a man or a woman that does this. And the vast, vast, vast majority of all big city cops are great cops who get into it for the right reason, who have good days and bad days like the rest of us. This obviously was more than a bad day for Van Dyke, and he'll deal with what he deals with. But the Tyshawn Lee thing and the work that your people have done and the emotion that they were obviously beset by, you as well, that you could have a kid killed by way of what appears to be his father's own ridiculous ties. It's a ridiculous job. I mean, you've got an incredibly important job, but a ridiculous job. And I know you said you're not leaving, but you must have had moments in the past week where you said, I've had enough of this.
I have those moments frequently, but, then I go back to how important it is what we do. This is probably the most important time in policing in this country, and I've been in a lot worse predicaments, trust me, Steve. At the end of the day, I believe that what we're doing is incredibly important. My role here in Chicago and my role on the landscape of policing in this country, you know about my involvement as the vice president of Major City Chiefs Association.
Right.
It's important right now to have progressive leadership in policing. And, you know, we can't react knee-jerk to what's happening. We have to have policies and practices moving forward that moves policing forward at the same time.
When the Ronald Johnson press conference comes up later today, what does the police department need to do in response to the charges that they're making?
You know, unfortunately, Steve, this is going to be the same scenario where we are not in control of that investigation.
Okay.
That is being conducted by IPRA. And at the end of the day, we don't have any authority in that investigation. And whether or not the dash cam is released is something that's going to be decided and fought out in court.
Have you seen the Ronald Johnson video, if there is one?
I have.
Any comment on it?
There's a number of officers on the scene. Only one of them fires his gun. The young man, unfortunately, has a gun. And, you know, getting into a confrontation with an armed individual is always a difficult circumstance. This officer determined that there was a danger to either himself or the fellow officers and fired a couple of shots and unfortunately led to his demise. You know, I can't change that. And the circumstances of that will be investigated and investigated, and we'll see where it goes.
Appreciate your time and your candor. Do you still feel the mayor has your back, as you've said many times?
Well, as recently as yesterday, he said the same thing, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Get some sleep if you can. Thank you, and thank you for coming on and being honest.
Thanks, Steve.
All the best. That's Superintendent Gary McCarthy. And, you know, there's some new information there in regards to the Independent Review Board and their authority over these and what the superintendent can do. Because of his position, the buck always stops with the guy in charge, whether it's the mayor, the superintendent, or whatever. But there are limited powers in all of those jobs, including Anita Alvarez's job. But they are the three-point people in this story, and the pressure will continue to be highest on the three of them going forward, fair or unfair. It comes with the territory. Anything strike you in particular that was troubling? Or, I mean, I thought he answered the questions, you know, honestly, from his viewpoint.
I thought he did, too. And you know, he answered a lot of questions, too, because he doesn't have the authority to say, you know what, I'm going to release this dash cam video. He has to be told to do it and was kind of cautious about whether or not he wanted that to happen. But in this particular case, we might see another dash cam video.
It sounds like that's possible, and possibly relatively soon, considering this. Again, just to review quickly, the delay seemed to be indicated by the police superintendent to be related to Zach Fardin in the U.S. Attorney's Office. We know the U.S. Attorney's investigations take forever. My understanding is those investigations should be independent, and any sort of delay granted by the state's attorney's office would be professional courtesy. Mm-hmm. But they can operate on a parallel line with whatever speed they operate. They didn't for this reason, but that would be an Anita Alvarez question that we'd have to ask, and we're efforting getting her on.